The marvellous and magnificent Maya Dunphy has made her way into Studio 7 for a chat and a cuppa. And we've already been chin wagging away
know,
there.
I know, looking at that red light came, didn't come on 5 seconds earlier. It's so nice to see you.
It is so
lovely
to see you.
In the flesh and your beautiful bump.
Oh, sure, look it. And I feel as big as a small country, but...
Well, you don't look it. And I'm very envious. I'd love to have gone again, but...
Would you?
I would.
So
Tom, you know, people have that chat when they say... People, they do ask terrible questions. They go, do you not wish you'd started sooner? And like you, it's not as if I spent my 20s, you know, living in a hole somewhere, not thinking about life. You know, life was different. I wanted to get in the property. I hadn't met somebody. So, you know, I had Tom at 39. He's just turned 6.
Yes.
Over the summer. And it's just the way life works out. But, you know, it wasn't like I was wasting my time. It was just... And also, I think either you have your kids early and get your life back in your 40s, or you have your kids later and you do all the fun stuff in your 20s and 30s. And like, I will never feel like I've missed out. You know, the last year, I feel like, do you miss pubs and nightclubs? And I go, no.
And it's funny. It's funny. Like, I was in Centre Parks a couple of weeks ago and I saw this couple and they had this tiny, tiny... Like, the baby must have only been a couple of weeks old. Oh. And I started to get a bit of a panic. I went... How do I do it? What do we do?
And it will be amazing and magical. And
It will. And sure, look, we're so blessed.
And you look amazing.
Thank you. So come here, Tom is 6. He is. Getting ready to go back to school.
How has
summer been with him? And because I know I've on your social, you've done quite a few staycations. You guys are like little adventurers together, you and
He's
Tom.
He's brilliant. Well, without risking, I don't want to get out the world's smallest violin, but the thing about single parenting, I mean, I've taken it all on my stride. I don't find it too difficult. Well, rarely do I find it too difficult. But there are certain times when it's highlighted. And I think things like bank holidays and summer holidays and Christmas are the times where it sort of comes to the fore. And people are talking about doing a week or two somewhere. And you're thinking, God, I don't really want to do that. So we broke down our holidays. So we did a night down in Gorey. We did 2 nights in Wexford. We did a few days in Galway. And then we're going to Limerick next week for 2 nights. So we've probably done maybe 10 days altogether. But we've divided them up. And the hotels around here are amazing. Like Centre Parks. I'm obsessed with Centre Parks.
It's great.
Not a sponsored post, but I wish it was. and we're actually going back to Centre Parks in November for a Christmas weekend.
It was
a trip. I have loads of trips that I booked last year. And I said, once I've paid for stuff, I don't want the money back because, like you, I just love going places. Yeah. So just give me the credit. Just give me the credit.
And what's he like as a little traveller? Because I've just done a couple of weeks on the road with herself as well.
Yes.
And you do have those magic moments. And she's only 3 and a half.
Three, yeah.
But I'd imagine at 6, you know, it's a lovely time to spend together because you have them out of their environment, away from a screen, or, you know, you're kind of concentrating. All you do, you're relaxed. And all you're doing is kind of concentrating on them and them on you.
Yeah. And there are so many. It's funny because now I look for very different. I used to look for a really good bar and really good spa, and now I'm like, is there a playground, is there a kids pool? It's all very different, but I love it because I've done all the bars and spas. I've done 20 years of bars and spas, so now it's time for, you know, playgrounds. And it's funny because we were in Amber Springs and Ferrycarrig, really nice family hotels, and you see all the parents queuing for the kids club so they can dump their kids and go to the bar. And Tom and I are doing the opposite because this is going to be sick making, but I love his company. He's just great. He's like me. We got an upgrade in the last hotel. He's like, look at this room. He's like, oh my God, look at this room. He gets a real buzz from going places. And we always get the train down and we look at the hotel website before we get there. We plan what we're going to do. And he's great company. I was on a plane with him when he was 8 weeks old.
Yeah.
On my own. And that was terrifying. I was only going back from London. So he's been on like 100 flights. He hasn't gone anywhere too exotic.
And I think once you start early like that, now for some people, you know, the idea is terrifying. But I think if you do it and you kind of get over that first initial flight or the second one, it does make things easier. And I want to ask you then just about single parenting that you said there. Like during lockdown, how was that for you? Because a couple of friends of mine found it very, very difficult, you know, trying to single parent and not have a support bubble. There's a friend of mine, her parents live in the States. And
it's very hard.
Yeah. And so when everyone was reducing contacts, everybody was scared out of their minds. Nobody was mixing. That kind of level of isolation, she found that very, very hard.
Yeah.
And reached out, actually. There was a company or a community that she went and got involved with called Frollo. Is that what it's a kind of? It's a single parent community.
Yeah.
And she really got an awful lot of, you know, help and assistance and kind of support through there.
Yeah.
Which I'd never heard of before.
I mean, I'm actually a total loner. And the thing about lockdown
by
is I actually, I was as a kid. I never went on girls' holidays to Spain or group trips. I was always just, and I've always thought, God, what's wrong with me? And then you get to about 40 and you go, it's just the way I am and it's fine. So I'm okay on my own. But since having Tom, I've realised the importance of having a bubble of people, a network around, because he needs friends. I don't want him to be a loner like me if he's not naturally that way inclined. So bizarrely, it had the opposite effect on me in lockdown, because I thought, you know, when you have the autonomy to choose not seeing people, it's fine. If it's taken away from you, you realise, oh, now I can't see anybody. Yes. And I, you know, the it's all ahead of you, but the when they start school and the WhatsApp groups, oh my God, it's a baptism of fire. And
with
you are
all the
not,
parents' WhatsApp
yes,
groups.
And oh you God. Are not going to, the worst thing when someone says, oh, anyone got a school book list, and someone sends it, and then you got 27 thank yous. We know, just sit in one thank you. So just stop. And just because you've both had a baby, you and another woman or a man, it doesn't mean you are going to have anything in common other than that.
Okay.
So, you know, you have to choose your friends wisely. But I've met a couple of really nice mums in the school, and one of them lives very close by. And you remember the first bit of lockdown when we were washing our groceries and, you know, pressing lift buttons with tissues and things.
It just feels like another
world. I know, but it was such an awful time. And after about 8 weeks, I was going to see my parents and standing outside their house and waving in the window, you know, doing all those silly, not silly things, things that we were told to do at the time. But this now friend of mine, Emma, she said, we have a garden. And she said, do you want to come up just have a drink in the garden and we can just keep 6 feet away? And I was like, yeah, I'd love that actually. So we did. And then we did that kind of once a week, and we kept our distance and we stayed outside. But, you know, after a while you learned of what you could and couldn't do safely. And that was a real lifeline. Because it's funny, when the choice is taken away from you to be alone or not, you realise that maybe you do need people more than you might have thought.
And so when himself goes back to
God,
school.
God, I sound miserable now, don't I?
No, not at all. Not at all. But when himself goes back to school now, you'll get hours back. You'll get hours in the day back to write and to work and all that.
And I'm going back to college.
Are you?
I'm doing a master's in climate change policy because I'm an idiot, Catherine.
Well done, you. Go on.
Over the last year, I thought, right, I need to add another string to my bow. And because I was doing What Planet Are You On for RTE, and I am very into sustainability, I have been for 20 years. I'm not just jumping on the bandwagon now. I kind of am. But I thought, what can I do that will complement the work that I've done so far? And well, actually, I'm not a natural student. I was never a natural student. And I found this course in DCU, the master's, applied for it, and had to get my old degree results out of my last university.
Wow.
They were like, oh, that's from the archives. It's so long ago. And but I've paid up for the first year now. So there's
good
no
for
going
you.
Back. But I think when Tom goes back to school, structure comes back to your life a little bit.
Yes.
So you can then start juggling work. It's a part-time course. It'll be one day a week. And I'm hopefully starting a podcast with a friend of mine, and I've got a new writing project.
Are you fitting dating in the middle of all of this?
Oh, gee. You know what's funny about dating, though? Again, being a loner, people do assume that you're not really happy on your own. And somebody said to me the other week that their brother had said, why has no one snapped up Maya? I was like, oh, I sound like a bargain
God
in the middle
almighty.
Aisle of Aldi.
She
snapped her up.
Well, my sister and the
thing is, I genuinely don't want to be snapped up, and I've been asked that a lot, and it's I don't find it flattering, but I find it reassuring that there are still people out there who are single. But I'm not really interested at the moment.
Okay. No, just even a couple of days ago we were talking about online dating and all that comes with it and the obstacles with lockdown and how they all presented for people.
It certainly must have been a hard year for anyone who had just got into a new relationship or was looking to meet somebody, but I wasn't.
Okay. I want to ask you, because No Place Like Home, yourself and your lovely dad did a little a story for us. Did you enjoy it?
Do you know what? It was brilliant.
Is like Benjamin Button. I was looking
at
photographs.
I don't want to say how old he is.
Okay, I was about to say.
No, I put it on social media. He's like, please stop saying that. See, my dad, like he used to be an athlete
unreal.
When he was younger. He's very youthful looking. His big thing is like, always stretch, stand tall, stay. He's very fit. But it's been a rough year because I haven't said this publicly, my mum was dying of cancer back in January. And it's been a very rough few months, and she just had a big operation this week. So, you know, thanks
how
to everyone in Vincent's Hospital, they're so amazing. Think about big major surgeries, it's all about it going according to plan and no curveballs, and it did. And my mum is, oh my God, she's a warrior. And she is so stoic and so positive. But you know what's funny? Because I was talking to somebody about trolling and social media, and you know, the trolls you can spot a mile off, but sometimes you can be blindsided by a message from someone who it's not intentionally malicious or nasty. And I've been spending a lot of time with my parents over the last few months because my mum's been so unwell. And I've put pictures up on Instagram. I never showed Tom's, my little Tom's face, but him and his granddad kind of walking to the playground in the background. And so lots of my dad. And because my mum, you know, she doesn't feel like she's looking her best. So she hasn't wanted me to put pictures up.
Of course.
And this one guy messaged me, and I could tell he wasn't being in any way nasty, not intentionally. But he said, "You put so many pictures up of your dad and your son. Do you not get on with your mum at all?" And it cut me to the bone. Because nobody knew she was sick, and I hadn't told anybody she was sick. You know, we're quite private. But I said to her this week, "Can I tell people?" "Oh no, she can tell people now." You know, she said, "I'm going to get back on my feet soon. She's amazing, my mum." So actually, that trip, No Place Like Home, came at a great time because she had a bit of energy back. She hadn't gone in for her operation yet, so she adores Tom's the only grandchild and very much the little
the
prince.
Apple of her eye.
Oh my god, yeah.
And so he spent the few days with her.
Yeah, and she had the energy for it. And then my dad came to, can I say where we went?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, we went to Carrigan Shannon, and we went e-biking and paddle boarding and went to the world's quirkiest museum, and we had a great time.
When I saw the two of you in the wetsuits heading off, getting into your paddling, and you're getting into your canoes and the whole
thing. My dad didn't do that bit in the end. He said he said, "No, I better not."
He just donned the wetsuit just to get the look, was it?
He donned the wetsuit and then he saw how light the paddle boards were. My dad's very tall, so has a higher centre of gravity, and he's super fit, but it wouldn't be good for him to fall into cold water. And that was very cold water. So I did it on my own. And I was saying to the producer, I know he's a good pal of yours, and I said, "Do I look like, I don't know, I was hunched because I was just terrified on this paddleboard." And Lee, the guy, said, "Stand up straight, just stand up straight." It's like, "Oh God, yeah, stand up straight." But it was just great. It was
great, have fun.
Yeah, so it worked out really well.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about your mom, but I'm also delighted that, you know, it seems to have gone well.
Yeah. I'm a really practical person, Catherine. And the thing about cancer is it will genuinely affect one in two or one in three of us. Most of us at some point in our life will have an experience of cancer, like very directly. And my attitude
was
is...
Was this,
you know,
your first experience of it?
No,
in terms
my
of
mum had
close
breast cancer 25 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And she, you know, she's again, she's just a total warrior, my mum, but, you know, and my grandmother as well, and some of my friends. I think we all, like, nobody's untouched by cancer.
Yeah.
But my attitude is, what has to be done? Like, medicine is amazing. You know, once things are caught early, it's about what has to be done and what can I do to help?
Mm.
You know, because that's what people need. Mm. They don't need people falling apart.
Exactly. And I think if you can stay focused and if you feel that, you know, you're if you can stay in that zone where you feel you're helping as well and staying positive.
Yeah. Food's a big deal in our house.
Okay.
Once I was like, once everyone's eating, it's fine. So,
yeah. And I think also it's a reminder for people sending a tweet or a message like that to you. Like, we say, think about everything before you put it online, but it's just a reminder again to be kind, isn't it?
Like, and the thing is, it wasn't an unkind tweet. Oh my God, like, someone told me I should burn in hell last week for a vaccine thing I posted. But the burn in hell ones, you expect those from anonymous trolls, and you go, "Oh, for heaven's sake, really?"
Well, you are very outspoken, which is great, which is why
I didn't think I was, really, but maybe I am. When it comes to the vaccine, I'm very pro-vaccine.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a freelancer, I'm allowed to say what I like, which is great. but there's a lot of very misinformed people out there.
Mm.
But I hope
one
I'm always
tweet
patient.
That I did.
No, that's a total lie. I'm not patient with people on social media.
One tweet that I did pick up on was the tweet that you sent about Sean Locke, the comedian.
Oh,
who,
Sean,
again, just talking about how cancer affects so many people.
Yeah.
He was 58.
I know.
And died of skin cancer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You had met him.
I had, yeah. He would have been, Tom's dad would have been quite close to him. Like, if you were a fan of comedy and stand-up, he was one of the kings. He was just amazing. And they say never meet your heroes. And I only met him a couple of times. Once in Edinburgh, he went to his stand-up show and he went for dinner afterwards. And I had written the Mr. Tato book years ago, but I was a little bit involved with the Tato Park, with some of the kind of writing around that.
Okay.
And of course, he found out about this and he was like, "Potato, what?" I mean, you can imagine the hilarity of just taking the almighty mick out of me for the entire night. And they go, "Maya, was there a potato waltz?" I was like, "No, there's no, but you don't understand. It's an institution." And you couldn't believe that the Irish would open a potato theme park. But it was just... But the nice thing about him was, and I've met a lot of comedians in my time, a lot who I really admired, and some of them are not easy to be around.
Mm.
Or they have very little interest in you and they're looking over your shoulder for somebody more important or funnier.
Mm.
But Sean, the two times I met him, he was one of those people who would always ask you how you were and was very interested in you and and just very, very funny.
And you got that from yeah. all of the messages and tweets yeah. and stuff so that young. I was reading, that people were just like, he was a really lovely guy, yeah, a really down to earth guy.
So yeah, I feel so awful for his wife and kids.
Yeah.
He was a real family man too, by all accounts.
Well, let's talk about what is making you laugh at the moment, because these conversations I've having
let's
them.
Move on from all the misery.
No, but it's because it's important, I suppose, and you do this, I think, very well. Like, you always remember, like, to look at the positives as well when yeah. you can, and as you said, you're quite practical. So during these chats with my mates, the coffee and cake chats, we'd be like, what's made you laugh, what's pissed you off, what's made you upset? So what's making you laugh at the moment?
What's making me laugh? I tell you what, I had loads of laughs with my dad on your show, No Place Like Home. We had so much fun. It was brilliant.
When was the last time you'd spent time together, just the two of you?
We couldn't even remember.
Mm.
I can't remember, which is awful, because like, even when you were kids, like, you know, when I was one of three kids, so you didn't do stuff on your own with your dad. Like, he took me for a drink after my Leaving Cert results.
Okay.
Oh, no, my mum was there too. He took me for a drink. Oh, when I signed for my apartment, he took me for a drink.
Okay.
But we don't do stuff on our own, really. I
so
mean,
precious.
Like, we've gone for walks and stuff, but we certainly haven't gone on holiday together on our own. So that was great. And then, do you know what? Ted Lasso. Let's discuss Ted Lasso for a sec. Have you watched it on Apple TV?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God.
I'm so behind on my Netflix binges. It's not even funny.
Well, that's my dad, as well as my son and his mates acting the maggot. I took them to the cinema, actually, my son and his friend Kieran, yesterday to see Space Jam. We got there just in time. I was dying for a wee. I thought, is it safe to leave them in the cinema just for 10 seconds while I go to the loo? And then Kieran said, please don't leave us on our own. So I sit there. But anyway, that's
so you couldn't concentrate.
No. So yeah, Ted Lasso is making me laugh.
Okay. And what would you say you've learned most about yourself over the last year and a half?
I never learn anything about myself, Catherine. I make the same mistakes over and over again, and I'll never change.
Well,
but
you
know
probably
what
learned that you're not as much of a loner
yeah,
as you thought you were.
Yeah, that is the big thing, yeah. And I intend to be far more sociable over the next year.
Okay.
Terms and conditions apply. Please don't DM me. Thank you.
Maya Dunphy, it is a pleasure as always. Lovely to see you.
Thank you so much.
And wishing you health and happiness to your mom, your entire family.
Thanks, Catherine.
And yeah.
And to your lovely bump.
Thank you.